Thank everyone for joining us today, and welcome to our presentation on the 2024 Data Analytics and AI Predictions Research. I'm your host, Steve Rosenwald. I'm the Chief Learning Officer at CFO.University.
Ready to discuss his groundbreaking research into data management and governance is Dr. Prashant Southakal.
Prashant is the founder of BBP Institute, an enterprise data and analytics firm specializing in advisory, training, and research. Under the topic of data management and governance, we have three predictions of prescriptions that include business performance improvement will take the center stage again, enterprise data governance will drive business enablement, and data footprint reductions will move closer to ESG initiatives. And now it's time to see the future with Prashant.
Thanks, Steve, and thank you everybody for joining this presentation and hearing from us what we have for you for 2024 and beyond as well. So let's go to the first domain, which I call it as part of the data management and governance, which is data management and governance. The first prediction which we see is business performance management will take center stage again. Oh my gosh, we have heard this million times, Prashant. What is it new which you are trying to say? So we went back to the fundamentals. We have been talking to a lot of business leaders. We have done research, so on and so forth. And we what exactly is analytics and AI giving to the organizations? Fundamentally, the definition of data and analytics, we believe, is using data to measure and improve business performance. However, what has happened in the last few years is the means have taken more preference over the end. Companies have focused more on data management, data capture, cloud computing, migration to the cloud, and all those things. So in the whole noise, in the discussion about capturing data and integrating data, so on and so forth, the real purpose of data analytics, which is all about measurement and improving business performance, has diluted. In some cases, it's even lost in some of our prospects and clients, which we have been talking to. So what we said is that, let's go back to the fundamentals. Analytics, all said and done, is using data to measure and improve business performance. If you don't believe in the culture of measurement and improving business performance, you are not going very far with data analytics and AI. Okay, good. Now, what's the prescription? What are you trying to tell us here, Prashant? The first one is, when we talk about performance measurement, you need to have two major things. The first one is the KPIs. Number two is about transactions. The focus has to be on transactions. So when we talk about KPIs, it could be a combination of leading and lagging. It could be technical or business focus, so on and so forth. But ultimately, you need to have KPIs, because KPIs are basically the linchpin for data analytics and AI. And ultimately, the objective is to increase revenue, reduce cost, and mitigate risk. The second thing, second prescription, is focusing on transaction. You might be having millions and millions of master data records, whether it's customer master, vendor master, so on and so forth. But what really matters is the transactions. Transactions are the ones which help you where the rubber hits the road, for two main reasons. Any transactional data you take, whether it's a purchase order or sales order or contracts or anything for that matter, when we talk about transactional data, it's going to consume business resources, which could be on equipment, which could be on money, which could be on location, whatever it is. So first advantage of focusing on transaction is we are really focusing on business resources rather than having a bunch of master data records, which really don't have much value. We were talking to a transportation company. They had almost like 500,000 customer master records. But in the last 18 months, they did business just with 1,700 of them. So what's the point in focusing on the 500,000 customer records when you're actually doing business with just 1,700 of them? And the second advantage of transaction data is it fosters relationship, because it's a counterparty. Any transaction you take, whether it's a purchase order, whether it's a sales order, whether it's an invoice, whatever it is, there is always a relationship between a counterparty. So the last prescription which we talk about when we want to look at measuring and improving performance, look at the five questions. I have five minimum questions you should focus on. Why do you want to measure? How much? Do you want to measure for the last 18 months? Do you want to measure for a particular line of business? How much you want to measure? Number three, what is the value of knowing? Of course, we all want to know the insights. But what really translates into actionable insights is flipping the question and asking, what is the value of not knowing? How do you bring this change? Who takes ownership for this change to happen? And lastly, you have good quality data to measure and improve performance. So the first prediction which we have is business performance improvements will again take the center stage, is going back to the fundamentals, which is all about measurement and improving business performance. The second prediction which we have is enterprise data governance will drive business enablement, which is tied to the last point which I mentioned, which is about data quality. We all know that data governance is basically ensuring that the right people have got right access to the data so that there is quality data in the system. But today we are talking about increased data capture. We have LLMs also coming to the picture where companies are looking at internal LLMs to manage customization, control, data security, privacy, and all those things. So overall, the focus is more and more on data governance. But sadly, what has happened in the world of data governance, it has become more like a compliance function or a risk enablement function rather than a positive or a growth enabler of business performance. So people are becoming more about risk aversion. It has become almost like a compliance function when we talk about data governance. Okay, good. So what can we do to make sure that the data governance is truly a business enabler? The first one is make sure that data governance is not done in one system. It is done in that system of record, which is the authoritative source of data in your system. And it's done throughout the data lifecycle, which we are talking about today. Democratize the data. And how do you democratize the data? On one end of the spectrum, we have data democratization, where we want the whole company to get the data. Good. But there is a risk with that as well. But we can't go to the other end of the spectrum, which is data protection. Oh, this is my data. I'm going to hold on to it. I'm not going to share this and all those things. So two extremes are really bad. So how do you bring the two areas together? Is through data governance. Data governance is the one that strikes the balance between data democratization and data protection. So use it as an enabler function with the right security roles. It's all about authorization. You can call it as role-based access control, role-based security, whatever it is. So it's all about protecting your data by striking the balance between data democratization and data security. And lastly, data governance is not a one-time project. You just do it and you forget. It is done throughout the lifecycle of the data. So these are the three main prescriptions which we have on how to make your data governance function truly an enabler of business performance. The third thing is about data footprint reduction. I've written a lot of articles about this. Data is an asset only if you know how to manage it. If you don't know how to manage it, data can be a liability, which would be very hard to manage. I've written a lot about this. You can Google about my work in Forbes and other places. But in the interest of time, I'll talk about the data footprint reduction in the today's ESG world, environmental, social, and governance world. We all know we want to be data-driven, but at the same time, the cost of being data-driven is also very high, especially from an ESG perspective. MIT did a research and they found that generating one image using AI takes as much energy as fully charging your smartphone. That means 12 watts. University of Massachusetts did a study and they found that training a single AI model consumes almost like 600,000 pounds of carbon dioxide. That is equivalent to about 5 cars of carbon emitted in their entire lifestyle. We in my company, DBP Institute, we did a study and we found that the amount of carbon dioxide emitted by ChatGPT, most of you might be using ChatGPT, in just one day is equivalent to 1,500 cars emitting carbon in the entire lifetime. So there's a lot of data that has been generated, but there's a price the world is paying for that as well. Okay, so what? The flip side is that though we are generating a lot of data, we are not using it. Forrester did a study and they found that 73% of the data in a company is actually never used. IBM and Carnegie Mellon found that number to be 90%. So overall, every company in the world is capturing a lot of data, but they're not effectively using it. It is shooting up their cost, the carbon footprint and everything. So what's the solution, Prashant? Three things. Again, the rule of three, which is my favorite term. The first one is capture data only if you need it. Don't capture data because you heard in some conference somebody say data is oil, data is blood, data is oxygen. They're all good. But the real thing why you need data is to run your business. And specifically, data can do three things. It can help you run your operations better. It can help you in compliance. And lastly, it can help in analytics and, of course, AI as well. Next, number two, most of the data that's been captured in organizations is unstructured data. I call it as TAVI data. In my book on data quality, which behind I've talked a lot about unstructured data, TAVI basically is text, audio, video, and images. 80 to 90% of the data in the company is unstructured data. The good thing about unstructured data is quick digitization. You can quickly capture it. But the bad thing about unstructured data is it is hard to process, especially when you want to query it. When you want to derive insights, it becomes very difficult to process or manage unstructured data. So you expand the scope of data by extending it to analytics, by processing the data, by structuring the data, by tagging it, so on and so forth. And lastly, have a retention schedule for your data. I was consulting for a pipeline company, and this pipeline company used to pay almost $3 million every year for a records management company to store their data. Because why? Regulators might come anytime, and when they come and ask this, I need to produce this record. So I asked a simple question. When did you last call this records management company to get your record? It was almost like 12 years back. So almost 12 years, every year they're paying almost like $3 million, but hardly they use this. So what's the solution? Look at your retention schedule and purge the data or even archive it so that you don't have to use it in your hot environment. So these are the three major strategies which I have on what you can do to reduce your carbon footprint.
Great. Thanks, Prashant. My head is spinning. Thank you for that. I want to thank everyone for joining us today. Enjoy, learn, grow, and stay in touch. Thank you all.